There's a thousand further women living down there. They're all living for the devil they care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group. Look for the return of my column into the Las Vegas Weekly, print edition and online. And I also write for Niche Media, Vegas Magazine, and all those. And I have the current cover story in Wynn Magazine, oddly enough, about showstoppers. So that's my story. Joining me finally after a long... Oh, and I write for the Sunday, which comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on the
Saturday.
Joining me... I'm Rusty. Joining me after a respite, a sojourn... and some downtime is Trish McCrone.
Hi, I'm back. Unfortunately, my voice is not all the way back. It's a little bit missing. Well, I came back for the 1 week, which was great. And then I knew I was going to be gone the next week because I was going to Scottsdale to help out a friend of mine.
You were selling cars.
Yes, I was at Barrett Jackson Auto.
Hawking cars.
Yes, exactly. But I do have to say, and then I went on to Palm Beach for the funeral of a great man after that, a dear family friend and someone whose family you know quite well as well, the Paxson family, Bud Paxson, Lowell Paxson. He started the Home Shopping Network. He literally revolutionized how things were sold. I mean, it all started out when he ran a radio station back in Florida, and somebody couldn't pay their bills and they gave him can openers. Appliance store. So he went and said on air, I'll give you these can openers. They're, you know, for $10. They're $30, you know, can openers for $10. And he sold them all out in an hour and a half. And thus, Home Shopping was born. That's how he started it. Yep. And then he also did PAX Television and a bunch of things. Just an incredible man. It was very sad. And actually, my brother-in-law, Wayne Newton, gave a eulogy. So it was a sad, but... a nice tribute to
how did Wayne end up meeting these guys?
Through lupus. We all met through lupus. Through Bud's daughter, Nicole, and I both have lupus. Right. And Wayne performed at their home about 15 or 20 years ago. And they became friends ever since. And they actually, that was it. That was the start of everything. And so it was, we were just with him a few days before he passed. So that was nice that we were with him for the holidays. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
And but, it's good to have you back.
Oh, it's good to be back. But I have to tell you what happened in Scottsdale.
Tell me what happened in Scottsdale.
This is a crazy, crazy thing. So again, you know, by the way, Ohio State, champions of the universe in college. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. OHIO. That was awesome.
Yeah. Urban Meyer is a great football coach.
Third string quarterback. Let's just put it there.
Yeah. That was a heck of a thing because Oregon was dynamite.
Definitely favored to win.
And I'm pro playoff, by the way, in college football.
Love it.
The more teams that have a chance to win the championship legitimately, the happier we are.
Yeah.
And that was a great, great performance by that team, by the Buckeyes.
Yes. I know. I couldn't be more proud. Couldn't be more proud. So here I am in Scottsdale helping out the Barrett Jackson Auto Show. And this, we had, where I was working, they had free phone charging.
Okay.
And so this guy sits down and he's kind of a hippie. And so he's charging his thing and he's talking to me. And so day one, day two, he's come back, he's talking to me. And the next thing you know, he starts talking about how he's from Cleveland. And he goes into this whole story and how he cannot, you know, how he's a felon and he was in jail and, you know, drugs and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just kind of listening to the story. And he tells the story of how he got sentenced to jail in the courthouse. Yada, yada, yada. This whole thing comes down. It all turns out that my father put this man in jail in the 80s. My father was a judge who has since passed away, but he was a judge and my dad put him in jail. So the very nice guys from Sherwin-Williams next door, that they were sort of in the area next door to us, are from Cleveland because Sherwin-Williams was actually kind of reinvented by a friend of our family's from Cleveland, the Breen family. So I kind of had gotten to know the Sherwin-Williams guys, and it was very funny. One of them who is like one of these guys, great, David, calls me over and is like, Trish, I've been watching this guy and, you know, he's been hanging out there and he came over and said that your dad put him to jail and now he can't fish in Canada. So, and he's still hanging out and taking pictures with you. Do you want me to help out here? And I'm like, no, but it was so cute that these, see, it just shows you're from Ohio. The Cleveland boys take care of a Cleveland girl. And it turned out, I'm like, no, he's just an old hippie who's showing me pictures of his you know, little camper that he's going to chop my body up in and dispose of it after he kills me for my dad putting him in jail. But other than that, it was great. And then an hour later, I sit down with the person who knows your family from Pocatello, Idaho.
Yeah, we talked to them. Yeah, they knew my, they were familiar with us. Yes.
So it's kind of been Pocatello. Random. And now we know I don't have a voice because I'm talking to all of these random people for so long. But a shout out to my Sherwin-Williams boys who took care of me. Thank you.
Righteous.
Now you have had insanity since I left.
Yeah, I've had quite a, let me see where to begin here. We are going forward with the Rock in Rio for starters. We have had the announcement of more performers who are going to be part of that two-weekend celebration of music. And it's an amusement park that's going to be on the parcel, 50-acre parcel on the south. Let's see, it's the southwest corner of Sahara and the Strip. You know what it is. It's that big land plot that has been used for nothing over the years. So it's going to be Bruno Mars, empty. Metallica, Taylor Swift, John Legend, and on and on.
Well, you
and
went
on.
Out to LA and that, you actually, there were performances in that. Yeah. Wasn't Charlie XCS?
Yeah, she was there.
Is.
She did an acoustic set. She's very cute. But I have to say, you know,
did she sing boom, clap?
I don't know what she's saying. She was up there
looking
cute.
At her.
And
okay, that's all
and she was just, it was incidental music. I was talking to Chris Baldazon trying to get an interview done. But I see these performers do these acoustic sets in these environments, and they were superstars. Superstar, this girl is. And there's nothing that is happening there that can't be surpassed in any lounge in this city. So I'm like, how is this you know, person world famous, and somebody who might be in Vegas a show, for example, or in BBR or any number of performances, pin up Lisa Marie Smith. I mean, it just goes on and on. I don't know. I'm jaded. But
well,
anyway,
no, it is. But we are jaded. It's the same thing when people you know, are so wowed by a Cirque du Soleil performance in their hometown that comes in.
Yeah.
You know, for a thing. For us, it's kind of like we are jaded. Seeing these amazing feats of acrobatics and whatever, we're like, oh, yeah, we saw that. It's, you know, it's in, we do
exactly.
Actually, what we long for is just people that get up there and sing and entertain and don't need all of the production and don't need everything else that goes with it. And I think that we might have seen that with a certain headliner in town.
Well, you know what? It's a... Here's what the thing, the point of all this is, that the Rock and Reel people wanted to announce their new the new set of performers. Sam Smith is in this list. Magic,
I love Sam Smith.
Pretty Reckless. Foster the People is on the new list. Among those who have been added, Jesse J.
I love Jesse J.
Yeah, and you know, it's going to be No Doubt. I'll just read them off. No Doubt, Manya, The Pretty Reckless, Foster the People, Gary Clark Jr., The Bleachers, and Saints of Valerie on May 8th. Metallica, Linkin Park, Rise Against the Machine, Hollywood Undead, Deftones, Coheed and Cambria, and Of Mice and Men on May 9th. Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, Echo Smith, Jesse J, Charlie XCX, James Bay, among the ones on May 15th. Bruno Mars, Sam Smith, Empire of the Sun, John Legend, Joss Stone on May 16th in that lineup. And there are more. It's going to be a major happening, at least 50,000 people per day on the Strip. And that was all about, that was why I was in Los Angeles on January 13th. And so look out, you know, Las Vegas is becoming an outdoor event city. And this is going to be the
It just keeps happening. And now New York, New York. Aren't they doing something? That whole thing back there, that whole property is just,
The New York, New York, New York, New York abuts the arena.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, that's hopefully the MGM Resorts Arena. And the park is also being built into the arena. So they're very busy at that parcel between New York, New York and Monte Carlo. And
the times there are changing.
I know it is. And then south of there is the MGM Resorts Village. That's across the street from Luxor. That's where they've had a whole bunch of
love that
the iHeartRadio event where we were with Wayne and the Country Music Festival.
Something Fest.
The Route 96, 98 Fest.
I don't know. I kept calling it like something crazy, like Country Fest.
Yeah,
or something. I hashtagged my own thing in there, and I went with it. That was what it was. Harvest Fest.
And Neil McCoy was out there. That's that parcel.
Love my Neil.
The point of it all is that there's a lot happening outdoors, and there's a lot happening indoors in this city, too. Showstoppers has opened at Wynn. I've been covering that. Frank the Man, the Music, over at the Venetian, starring Bob Anderson, who will be on our show. He's coming in. He started his show. show, and it's just, it never ends. So,
it doesn't. And you know, more importantly, I've missed you, Katz.
I know, I missed you too.
I know, I feel like I've been gone for way too long.
Yeah, the studio's too big without you.
Oh,
that's the Police song.
I love my
bed instead of studio. Anyway, we have to close out the host chat portion of our program.
Okay.
Up next is Josh Bell with movies, and then we're going to have our friend Billy Johnson.
I love Billy.
Late of the Wranglers, now of UMC, talking about that transition in his life and career. So stick around. I know we will.
This is Zoe Bowie.
And this is Marley Taylor.
And you are listening to
Katz with the Dish.
Yeah! I'll take care of it.
What does that mean when you say you'll take care of it? It's not a brick through a car window or another of the cute little warnings over the past few years. This is your kid playing with a loaded gun.
I know what it is.
That's Oscar Isaac as heating oil mogul Abel Morales and Jessica Chastain as his wife Anna in J.C. Chandor's A Most Violent Year. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Set in New York City in 1981, A Most Violent Year delves into the inner workings of the heating oil business, which turns out to be as ruthless as organized crime. Abel has worked his way up from the bottom to own his own heating oil company, only to find himself the target of hijackers who steal his trucks and sell the oil to his competitors. Tense and uneasy even in its smallest details, yet still broad enough to feature a well-crafted car chase, A Most Violent Year is an exacting thriller with a rich sense of time and place, made by a filmmaker at the top of his game. I give A Most Violent Year 4 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the thriller Black Sea, starring Jude Law as laid-off submarine Captain Robinson, who hatches a plan to steal an underwater cache of Nazi gold.
Oh, sheer Jesus Christ, why?
Because they're risking their lives.
Yeah, but they would risk their lives for a flat fee.
Just toss them the scraps, is that it?
Surprisingly, things do not go according to plan, and director Kevin MacDonald ratchets up the tension as Robinson and his men start turning on each other. MacDonald directs with no-nonsense economy, and Jude Law takes the same approach to his role as a fed-up working-class bloke. When it sticks to the increasingly chaotic undersea action, Black Sea is efficient and gripping. I give Black Sea 3.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the former president of the Las Vegas Wranglers, a post he vacated in December, right around Christmas. He has since assumed the position of director of the UMC Foundation. I'm sure he'll flourish in that. And here to talk about what in the world's been going on in the last couple of months is my friend, our friend, Billy Johnson. Billy, welcome
Yay!
Back.
Thank you. Thank you. Please remain Woo! Seated.
Sit down. You thousands of people.
The crowd is having an orgasm.
UMC. Is Billy is one of not only my favorite guests, but one of, I have to say, you're one of my favorite people in Las Vegas.
No,
I love
shucks.
Billy. And you're I love his wife, Erica.
Love Erica.
Love them. Like, they're just
wonderful.
Good people.
They're great people. So, Billy.
Now that matters, you don't have to be.
Wait a minute. Let her go on.
I love where this is going so
yes.
far. Now, Billy, it's been a wild ride, man. I mean, for the last year and a half almost, I guess, or, you know, 14 months or so since mm-hmm. the Wranglers went tea over tea kettle.
Yeah.
With you and with the franchise and everything. Let's talk first about.
So where are the Wranglers going?
Where aren't the Wranglers going? What's going on with the Wranglers? I know you're out of the picture now, of course, but you have, you know, rare insight now as an outsider about what is going on with that franchise. How come they never found a home?
Well, you're probably not going to like my answer, but once I resigned...
I don't even like the question.
Yeah. Was there a question in there anyway? Once I resigned, I swore off any information I don't want to know. I just, I don't want to accidentally say something. I know, I'm so sorry, but I don't want to know. And I timed my departure at a point in time that, I can't speak from my perspective, if that helps. I timed my departure at a point in time that if there were anything true about me possibly be a reason that we were kicked out of the Orleans, that there would be a chance for everyone to get back together. And I have extracted myself from that. So. We'll see if that had anything to do with it. I doubt it, but we'll see.
But you made the team. I mean, you got everybody coming to the games with your fun little nights that you had, your marketing, your promotions. I mean, I really, it was because of you that I really knew about the Wranglers. And you had thousands of locals coming out, and it was because of all the great work that you did.
Well, thanks. But, you know, the hockey team was going to play their games anyway.
Oh, there was hockey?
Yeah, there was. Right.
Sorry. Okay.
I thought it was this guy's dressed alike playing
air
with a puck.
That's
air puck. But no, the time, my personal timing was such to give time for me not to be a factor if that was ever a possibility. So that
obviously wasn't.
Do you think that was that a real issue or an issue of perception?
Well, I think, you know, if you have 100 people in a room, a theory is going to come up like that amongst at least one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so I don't put a lot of stock into it. I mean, but, you know, if my eventuality was that I was going to leave, it might as well be at a point where I've eliminated myself from the equation.
You know, it's interesting in how this has all played out, and the longer it's gone on you know, the more time has passed, there's a lot of people are wondering how in the world this relationship, this business partnership that was so symbiotically effective didn't work, came apart. I mean, the team was important to the Orleans. The Orleans had no reason to want the team to go on the surface at all.
Right.
We know what the arena meant to the team. They've been late ever since they left. I mean, at some point, you just like, how in the world did this all come about? And then I think people do make the logical steps, like maybe it was personal.
Well, it could have been. But, you know, let's look at it this way, though. If it were personal, I would have left years ago.
Really?
I mean, if it was something that was so personal that got in the way of my enjoyment of the job, or if I thought it was threatening, I would have moved on to something that made a lot more sense and maybe made a little bit more money for me and I would have more fun in.
Were you happy as a president
in the last few years? Oh, are you kidding? It was a blast. It was a dream job. It was a great job. It was a big job. It's a big, big job. But here's the other thing I can give you that's a bit of a scoop, I guess. I was on the way out anyway. I had resigned myself about 18 months ago that I was winding down. I was personally sort of getting done with it. We had done it, and I was looking for something else to do.
Before the deal fell apart?
Before the deal, before we realized we were on our way out. So this probably delayed me leaving. I might have left at the end of last season. You know, at the end of the day, if there's no lease and there's no place to play, you know, Gary Jacobs, the owner, is going to have a hard time filling that job because the job security is not the greatest. Mm-hmm. And so I stuck around a little bit longer, you know, because of that.
Yeah, and I think he said that unless they have a place to play, he's not going to fill it.
Yeah, he's not going to replace it.
Right. So.
Now, your gut, I know you don't have any information, but your gut is, do you think that we will ever have the Las Vegas Wranglers back?
Well, I don't know. I'm optimistic because to John's point, I mean, it made a lot of sense. And it made a lot of sense for the Orleans and if for no other reason that it was good for the community. And that's a big thing. If they don't have anything over there 36 nights in a 6 month period, then it makes sense for them to come together. But you know, we'll see. Time will tell. I'm not asking. I'm not looking, and no one's really telling me anything.
But now there's a great transition because hockey players are known to get in little skirmishes on the ice. And where will they go when they get hurt?
Well, UMC, I would think.
So it's a logical
Billy's house
transition.
My house claiming some sort of workman's compensation.
You've been before, and I wonder, we are going to talk a lot about UMC, but another area where you've been used as a point man is the search for an NHL team in Las Vegas. And your opinion about that issue has been very valuable. You know, what do you think about that? And we're going to try and sell 10,000 deposits for tickets.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen?
Well, you know, I don't know. And it's funny. I really haven't been used as a point man. I've been used more as a commentator on it.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. It's a person who has a point of view.
Yeah, a point of view. Yeah. No one from the NHL or Bill
Foley.
A guy
who's smarter than a journalist. That's what you
want. Is that what that's called?
Which is not damning. It's damning with faint praise.
You'd be surprised how small that category probably is, John.
Depends on the day.
I don't know. I think, you know, Bill Foley is doing the right thing. He's getting blind financial commitments. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's stupid. I'm not going to put my – this is my dumb voice. That's stupid. I'm not going to put my money –
I like the dumb voice. Thanks. I like characters. It makes me happy. Kind of like cats when he imitates his grandmother. Right? One of my favorite things.
All right, yeah.
Can you do the dumb voice, please, Billy? I like the dumb voice. Don't you like the dumb voice? Trisha looks – she's so pretty.
I love Kansas grandmother, and now I love the dumb voice.
Is that really your voice, John?
Handed down from generations, from the Marchettis to the Santas to you, my oldest grandson.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, where were we?
We were talking about the dumb people.
Oh, the dumb people.
I didn't mean to call them dumb people.
Oh, that's your dumb voice.
That's your dumb voice. It's the Steve. Talk about anybody that's not you.
It's the Steve Martin voice.
Yeah.
Told you.
Oh, hip, hip, ho.
Right. That's exactly what it is. Now that we've lost the audience.
Did we have an audience?
Steve Martin fans, go to www.
Unite. So the reaction to this deposit campaign has been, you know, why would I put down all this money if I don't know how much the ticket's going to cost or what the seats are going to look like and the whole thing? And that's one thing they're getting right, because this is a high-risk proposition. And once they mess it up and they commit and those season tickets aren't there, he's stuck.
Who's and the they being are right?
The owners.
The owners are being right. And this is the market test, a real-time market
they
test.
They totally
right?
should be doing this. They should be totally getting a financial commitment from anyone who's popping off and saying we would support the NHL. Because once they sign on the dotted line and it's official – and I have firsthand experience in this. When the Wranglers – when I took the Wranglers job, the one thing that let me do it in my mind was that I was told we had X number of pre-sold season tickets. That number ended up being about 40% of what I signed on for. So we were behind from the beginning.
Wow.
And thinking I had nine months to start, I mean, time adjusted, I probably had 3 months to make up for that. So he's doing the absolute right thing by getting financial commitments from mom and dad and pops.
Do you think that – I mean, with Vegas being a you know, just basically visitors coming, obviously we're a resort destination. Do you think that we would have enough people that would be going to a National Hockey League, to a team that would support a team?
I think it's a hard road. I think he's going to have to, Bill Foley and the Maloofs are going to have to be pitch perfect and be as error-free as possible, because we may have enough people who would be interested in going to a game. The question is, are they available to go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On a Wednesday at 7 p.m. That's a totally different question, right?
Yeah. I mean, because we went to the NBA, there's always the rumors that we were getting an NBA team. It's just nothing – when it comes to professional sports on that level, we never seem to be able to
Off. There's a critical mass that needs to happen.
It's tricky.
And it's not always just in tickets. It's I always called it the average transaction, right? So you may have X number of season tickets and you may have, let's call it 50 sponsorship transactions, and you may have – all of that piled into a big bucket comes up to an average transaction. So that ticket number can fluctuate from 8,000 to 14,000 if the sponsorship is there. And I think that average transaction number is what he should be shooting for. But I think it's suspect that there's enough sponsorship money and enough season ticket money to get into that bucket to get to the average transaction. That's
right.
If I could bore you with that, so to speak. No, but
well, I've talked to somebody who's close to this NHL franchise or this effort, the campaign, who told me he put it better than 90% that they would sell those 10,000.
Wow,
he that's good news.
Yeah. Now this is and if somebody's directly involved, but don't you think that it's more of a question of time? The amount of time a person has to not only money, but it's just the consumer has to spend so much time devoted in their lives to this process, to there's, being a fan of something that doesn't exist.
There's a lot of stuff. But so far, what they've done, I'm really impressed with. I think they're taking all the right steps. So if you take the next step, what I think they should be doing, I bet they're doing it. And that is, how are they shoring up those renewals for year two already? You know, what's their programming in place? What's going to happen if I buy 40 tickets at $3,000 and I can only go to 30 games? You know, how they're going to take care of me, right? So I would imagine, as smart as they've been attacking this already from what I've seen, that they're ahead of this. The problem is always going to be in the third year. That's going to be the problem. That's when you're running faster in the hamster wheel, but the wheel's not moving any quicker. That's the problem. That's the thing that they got to plan for.
The novelty wears off.
Yep.
It can only go down in the first 2 years.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, they got 2 years to catch it.
And if you were offered this job to be the president of such an organization?
First, I'd have to get a call from somebody.
Okay, but let's say you did. Let's say it's my team, and I would call and ask you to take the
position. Okay, so there's no job.
There's no chance.
Would you take it?
Well, no, I couldn't say that. I would certainly talk. I tell you what I would like. I would like to be paid $75 million a week to be a consultant. That's awesome. That's the gig for me. You'd want to consider it, you know, that's just so far out there. It's flattering that people would say that, but it's so far out there.
Well, you could be president of my team when I get
it. Yeah, and it's, you know, obviously you have experience in operating a sports franchise in this arena, literally, in this market. So, I mean, you know, you never know what can happen.
And how does that expertise transfer over to UMC?
Or as I like to pronounce it, UMC.
The University of Michigan Commonwealth. Is there any UMC out there?
I don't know. United Methodist, I don't know, something.
I because you were so amazing at entertaining things that, you know, and marketing and promotional ideas that were very entertaining. I don't know how, I'm expecting a different Billy Johnson.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
I
agree with what Dish is going for here. Is that we know you as somewhat of a madcap, you know,
crazy,
very inventive. I mean, completely out of the box marketer, and you're going into an area that is literally clinical. Now, how do you transfer those, your experience, a long time in sports marketing, more than 20 years, right? Into a hospital development role.
Well, you look at everything that's in common with the skill set, right? So it's a matter of communication and connection. So, for example, we'll take some of my favorite Wranglers promotions. One being the end of the world night, when the minister Harold Camping had nationally declared that this particular night the world would end, and we made a promotion out of it. And some of the best jokes that made me laugh didn't make 90% of the people there that saw them laugh. But the 10% that got it, I had a heart-to-heart connection with forever. And it's basically building up, you know, the stuff that you guys are aware of and gravitate to are the stuff that I happen to find to be my favorites. But there's a lot of stuff that the Wranglers did that connected with different types of people all the time that may not be on your radar. So that skill set will still be the same. It's a matter of talking and breaking down language barriers with people who speak a different language in a different way, whether it's culturally or pop culturally or whatever.
Right. How is it determined that you're doing a good job in this role?
Well, more people are going.
What's the meter?
I think it's much different than what it was before. First of
attendance?
All, let's hope not. Right. We have learned.
Gosh, there's just a crash on the 15. Yes,
this is unbelievable.
4,000 people a night at UMC. I don't know how the guy's doing. It really,
that is amazing.
It was funny. Had night down at the hospital.
Oh God.
Tony Clifton was entertaining in the cafeteria.
Clear.
Ultimately, it's going to be funds, right? Ultimately, it's going to be money. But I think the same can be said about buzz on the street. That's a huge indicator on how we did with the Wranglers. We were very lucky. Not a lot of minor league teams are able to ask strangers on the street, do you know about the Wranglers? And they actually know, but they've never been to a game before. That is very transferable. So one of the indicators has to be, are we reaching people to have a good, positive feedback about the stories that UMC will tell? And that doesn't preclude that the stories are all going to be, you know, medical. I mean, I hope to do some things that are culturally driven and attention grabbing and a lot of fun. yeah. And make people want to be involved with what we're doing.
Is the campaign that you envision, is it going to be event-based or is it going to be more outreach in ways that are more traditional, you know, social media and that kind of thing?
Oh, I think it's going to be everything. Everything. I think we could see concerts and music and publicity stunts and art exchanges and cultural exchanges. I think you could see everything there. And then behind the scenes, we'll take the results of that and contribute to the hospital in a way of giving them some things that maybe aren't hitting budget line items right now.
Right. And what's the first thing out of the gate for you?
Well, that's a good question. It's a little premature to talk about, but I am looking to partner with some folks in town on the visual arts. I think UMC's got an amazing story to tell, and we can get local artists involved to tell that story in a way that doesn't involve blocks of text.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I think...
Look at you thinking outside the box again, yeah, Bill Johnson. Right?
So the first step is to tell the stories, and there are some amazing stories there.
All right. Well, we have to wrap it up for this particular visit. Thanks for coming down here. And you also have a column in the Las Vegas Sun online. We got to talk about that blog. And what is it called now?
It's going to be called Off the Strip.
Off the Strip.
It's rebooting this week, and I'll be contributing regularly again.
I'm happy, and I don't need the competition.
Yay. And exactly. And I love the mauve shirt as opposed to the, when we first met years ago, the shorts and t-shirt look.
Thank you. Moving mountains, sir. All right, Billy Johnson of UMC. We'll do this again. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Las Vegas. We were Las Vegas.